Our gospel reading takes us onto the road to Emmaus on the very day of the resurrection. Two disciples walk in disappointment and confusion until a stranger joins them, interprets the scriptures, and is finally recognized in the breaking of the bread. Listen for how Christ makes himself known, Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. Listen for God's word to you. Now, on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other? While you walk along," they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know what has taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who is a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb this early this morning, and they did not find his body. There they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe that all the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them and the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were our hearts not burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Hear what the Spirit is saying to our church. Thanks be to God."
Today's passage takes place on the road to Emmaus, a town about 7 miles from Jerusalem on Easter Sunday. Two followers of Christ were leaving Jerusalem for Emmaus. Typically, the people in the passage are assumed to be two men, but the passage only names one of the followers, Cleopas. As we know, the other person on this journey could be his wife or another woman. We can visualize that it could be any of us walking with Christ in this moment. The two followers were talking about all these things that had happened, but what things? These followers had experienced quite the day already before their long journey back home. A few hours earlier, Mary Magdalene went to visit the tomb and saw it was empty. They were among the first to find out Jesus had risen from the tomb, but they did not know what this really meant. They were both taken back and confused about what exactly had happened to Jesus over these past few days. They were talking to each other and trying to make sense of what had happened when Jesus came near and started walking with them. When this happens, the passage says their eyes were kept from recognizing him. But why? James, why were their eyes kept from seeing who he was?
Jesus hid his identity from the two people because he wanted them to understand that he had left earth now, and they must learn to believe and carry on his words, not through sight, but through faith. Jesus is sticking to his role as a teacher for all of humanity, trying to help them. He attempts to help the two people begin a new understanding of Christianity, an understanding that doesn't require having to see the body of Christ, It requires having an understanding of what it means to reflect Jesus in our own individual lives. As the story progresses, Jesus asks the two people why they look so distraught. The two are left in disbelief. One of the most significant events in history has just occurred, and this man has no idea what is going on. I mean, these poor people were really going through it these past few days. They just witnessed their Lord and Savior be crucified on the cross. Jesus was so significant in their lives. They have been mourning, stuck in thought, in doubt, wondering what is to come next. They didn't understand that Jesus was to come back. Everything was lost. And on top of that, they have to walk all the way back to Emmaus. That's not just a walk down the street. That's 7 miles through mountains and cliffs. Back in their time, it would take people on average 7 hours to complete this. So after this excruciatingly difficult day, this man has the audacity to say, "Well, what's wrong?" The two absolutely lose it. They ramble on and on about how much Jesus meant to them, about all the things that have led up to the crucifixion. They even explain the prophecies that were provided by Jesus. More proof, they explain how the woman discovered an empty tomb, which is more proof of the prophecies unfolding. Yet they are still too naive to understand. After hearing them speak of their troubles, Jesus chimes in and asks them why they are being so foolish. Francis, why might Jesus have addressed the two people as foolish?
We don't know how exactly Jesus said this to them, whether he was speaking fast, yelling, angered, or speaking slowly. Whichever way he spoke to them, he did not do so to tear them down, but to wake them up. He does not scold them to push them away. He challenges them so they can grow deeper in their faith. He called them foolish because they could not connect the dots, even though they already had the answers. The New Testament did not exist at this point, but the Old Testament did. In the prophets and other books of the Old Testament, the answer was already given to them as to why all these things had to happen to Jesus. They knew the scriptures said this, and they heard what had happened at the tomb, but they could not connect them because they still did not fully believe and trust in the scriptures. They were expecting a different type of Messiah and didn't understand that suffering was a part of God's plan. Jesus is not being harsh. He is teaching them and helping them connect what the scriptures say with what happened. He continues to explain the scriptures to them rather than telling them because he wants them to understand and realize on their own. He is pointing out their slowness to believe. The followers' faith grows deeper as Jesus explains the scriptures to them. When they reached the village, they invited Jesus to stay with them. As we said earlier, these followers were there when Mary Magdalene came back from the tomb. This makes us think that they were also there at the Last Supper. When Jesus blessed and broke the bread in this story, they instantly recognized who he was. Their eyes were finally open, but he vanished from sight. James, why did he do this?
The disappearance of Jesus is very significant in that it represents a transition from believing through sight to believing through faith. No longer do people need to physically see Jesus to believe in him from now on. These ideas have been passed down to this very day. None of us have seen the body of Christ, yet because we can encounter Jesus in our own lives, we can understand and believe confidently in his scriptures. There are ways which we may encounter Jesus in the present day. Seeing Jesus through actions is very common. Actions that show compassion, that show care, and that strengthen each other. Jesus is present in all of these. When the two people realize what they have just witnessed, they look at each other and reveal that when Jesus was with them, their hearts were burning within them. Francis, what does it mean that their hearts were burning within them?
When Jesus revealed himself, everything made sense. While walking with Jesus, the followers felt something inside them, but didn't realize it. Something was happening spiritually. Their hearts recognized the truth before their minds did. They may not have recognized Jesus physically, but they felt his presence. The followers ran back to Jerusalem. As James said, the journey was about 7 hours. These followers woke up, found out Jesus had risen, walked 7 hours back home, encountered Jesus, awoke spiritually, and then immediately rushed back to Jerusalem, probably that same day. The resurrection truly turned them around, not only spiritually, but physically. They were walking in sorrow and disappointment, but started to walk in hope and happiness.
Finding Jesus in our lives can really enlighten us, just like the disciples were. We all have moments in which we discover Jesus in our lives. For me, it was when I went camping with all my friends this past summer in Arkansas. I found myself in a situation where I needed to be transported to the hospital, so I got in my friend's parents' car and we drove a whopping hour and a half to get there. I remember the moment, it wasn't really the pain that was getting to me. It was the fear. It had filled my body. And the fear brought uncertainty. I asked myself, what do I do? Am I gonna be okay? When will I go back to normal? And looking past all this, I got into the car and we drove to the nearest hospital. The drive started off pretty sour, as you may expect. My body was aching really bad. I just wanted to all be over. The winding roads of Arkansas were no help at all, and it stayed like this for about half an hour until The Man Who Sold the World by Nirvana came on the radio. And this detail may seem very minuscule in the broad scheme of all that is going on. However, we proceeded to talk about our favorite songs for about the rest of the trip, probably. All the fear and all the uncertainty had vanished from this moment on. Time flew by, and we had finally reached the hospital where we met up with my dad. We parked the car, and I got dropped into a wheelchair, and as I sat there, all the people that had come for me stood around me in a circle, and I could see all of their faces. This was the moment that I realized something was different about this. In my time of need, all of these people had shown up. Amidst the tension, I could feel God's presence in the moment. I went from uncertainty to faithfulness, just as the disciples had done. Just a simple conversation had been enough to discover Jesus. Our actions have the ability to enlighten others. They establish our faith. They are the roots of what being a Christian is. God can be found in our actions even when we fail to recognize it.
Today's story shows us that God works internally, not just externally. Our faith is not about what we see, but what we feel and know. The followers did not see Jesus or recognize Jesus working in them, but once the scriptures were opened, they felt their faith working in them. We have all walked in disappointment and know what it is like to say we hoped. But the story of Emmaus reminds us that Christ meets people where they are, even if they don't fully understand. He opens our hearts and sends us back into the world with good news to spread.
Faith is sometimes confusing and slow, causing us to doubt God's plan. But God is still working even if we can't see it or tell. So if you ever feel like you're walking away in confusion or doubt, listen here. You are not alone. Even if you can't feel or see it, Christ is walking by your side and always will be.